You're tuned in to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as The Remnant, one of the most listened to podcasts in the Christian community. You can visit our website, toddcoconato.com, and now broadcasting live around the world from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Here's the host of the show, Pastor Todd Coconato.
What's happening in the body of Christ, and how do we get back on track? How do we get back on track to be in alignment with the will of God? To be the salt and the light, to be the body of Christ that the Lord desires us to be according to his word. It's a very, very important subject that we're going to have this morning or this afternoon, depending on when you're tuning in. But I want to thank you to every remnant warrior out there for tuning in. And we do have an app. It's Todd Coconato Ministries. You can go into the app store. It's a little red R. And download that app so we can get around the censorship. We're so thankful that you tuned in today. And listen. How does a church leader with significant influence on tens of thousands of followers approve of a man that was a stripper coming to a men's conference and doing some very provocative things on the stage of that men's conference? Now, I understand the man could be a former stripper. Maybe he's not a stripper anymore, but it's just weird to have a shirtless man on a Which, by the way, is kind of like a, it's not like your warrior type shirtless man. It's like some feminine, weird, at a men's conference. And how is it that people are okay with this and didn't get up and walk out? I mean, it's now I know that some people sensationalize some of these things. And so we're going to really dig into this. And this is not what the main topic of the show is, but what the main topic is, how do we get back on course? And so this was my post on Facebook after that whole thing happened in that church. I said, I don't care if it's a men's women's conference or regular church service. It showed a major lack of any sort of discernment. It's just not holy. It's not in any way glorifying to God. Something is very wrong that this would be approved. And that's my question is, how do these things get approved? Who sits there in some room when they're planning these type of events out, you know, this men's conference, and says, hey, you know, we're going to have this guy come out. I guess, you know, he does something with a sword or something like that. You know, and maybe they didn't explain it. Maybe people didn't really look into who the guy was. Maybe it was just on one person that had really bad discernment, but somehow this slipped through the cracks and now has gained, you know, national, if not global attention. I mean, to the fact that the news media talked about it when it happened and pretty much everybody had a comment on it. But there's a bigger story here that isn't being addressed. And this is what we're going to talk about on the show. It's part of a larger cancer that's spread for years. This woke indoctrination, compromise, watering down of the gospel, the DEI infiltration. We talked about that recently in the church, which has become a major problem. It's a cancer. And it's a deception in this late hour. And I'm hoping that some of you that are listening, that maybe you've got caught up in a little bit of this because you didn't know it was happening. Hopefully this show will bring awareness. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. We need to have the discussion because we have to find out, how do these types of things actually happen? How did it get to the point where the leaders in this church, somehow this guy slipped through the cracks and now it's a global story to where the church looks like just ridiculous, crazy, horrible. And so we're trying to get to the bottom of this. So this type of thing absolutely needs to be called out, and I'm glad it was. To not call it out would have been a bigger mistake. Now, of course, there's protocol and the way you call it out and things like that. I understand. I agree with that, by the way, Matthew 18. But, you know, there is a time to call things out. It's time to address these types of issues head on and root them out. God will not tolerate this in his bride. We will be discussing more of this week. Well, here we are. We're discussing it. I'm reading from my post on Facebook. It's time to return to God's word, holiness, repentance, righteousness, and to avoid even the appearance of evil. Now, I want to get into the second post as I was thinking about this that came to my heart. Some, definitely not all, because some are on fire for God and standing. Mega churches kind of remind me of what happened to the good old mom and pop stores that had good products that were made well, and they provided good customer service. And then what happened? The mega chains and big box stores ate up much of their market share over the years, and we have a bunch of flimsy made products from China. In many ways, There's a similarity to the modern church movement. I hate to say it, but it's true. And we need to bring back the quality, discipleship, and Bible teaching that we once had. There's no substitute for real. You cannot fake the anointing. Let's support our local churches that are preaching and teaching the truth and not holding back. Let's also support those larger churches who are doing the same. Very important. Now, we're going to get into all this, but I want to just read these posts in this initial segment here, and then we'll talk about this. This was a response to this pastor getting kicked off the stage at the Christian conference in Missouri. I said, in my view, it's not about two pastors making amends. I'm glad that happened, and it needed to. But what about making amends with the Lord and repenting for what happened in a holy place? Let's just think about what's been happening in some churches recently. I mean, you know, kicking Bibles like footballs. Remember that during the Super Bowl? People were, you know, kicking a Bible in a church. Who approves that? That's my question. Who in the board meeting or wherever they planned that service, it must have gone through several people to where they discussed this was going to happen. No one thought that'd be bad. No one in there thought that no one had the discernment to say, hey, Pastor, this might not be a good idea for you to kick a Bible during a service. No one in there? I mean, that just shows you something right there. Then no one would even have that on their heart. I mean, what kind of church is it? Because I know in my church, if I came to the leadership and said, hey, guys, I'm going to kick a Bible next week. Is that okay? Like every single one of our leaders, every single one would be like, no, absolutely not. So how is it that this, you know, there's something wrong? What about the church that recently put whipped cream on a Bible as a sermon illustration? What? Who puts whipped cream on a Bible? Who thinks about, hey, let's put whipped cream on a Bible? Yo, that's a great sermon illustration. Really? I mean, hello? Is that holy? Is that righteous? Is that something that the Lord would do? Of course not. Jesus is the Word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why would we, you know, that's so disrespectful. There's no reverence. There's no honor. What happened to reverence and honor? Respect. I think that's one of the big problems right now. So when does this all stop? What's the message to the world, to God himself? How are we glorifying God in these things? Are we glorifying God at all in these things? Kicking a Bible like a football, you know, putting whipped cream on a Bible. Does that glorify God? No. Somebody say, well, it's for salvations. No, don't give me that. No one needed that for salvations, okay? You know, listen, the guy on the stage, it was weird. It was awkward. It was demonic, I thought, you know, as far as that men's conference. And let me just say this about that. What if somebody in there was struggling with homosexuality? What if somebody was struggling with you know, some type of porn addiction or something like that? Is that helpful? I would be so heavy-hearted if somebody came to my church and there was something that I said or did that would cause them to stumble. You know, if we serve, I was once actually got into a quite spirited debate with a pastor up in Wisconsin because he was having beers and hymns at his church service. Beers. I said, Pastor, why would you serve alcohol at your church? That's crazy. I don't even know how they get away with that. First of all, how do they even get away with that? Second of all, who in their right mind? So some people are going to be leaving that church event drunk. And what about the folks that have been alcoholics? And here they come to their church and their pastor's like, yeah, beers and hymns. Guys, listen, I understand that you could maybe put this in the terms of we're trying to reach people that normally we wouldn't reach or whatever. But can I just tell you, as a person that comes from the world, as a person that was in Hollywood, that did party and drink and all that stuff, that's not what got me to come to church. In fact, I would have probably laughed and said, no, thank you. For sure I would. I wouldn't have been like, ooh, this is cool. This is cool. This church serves beer and hymns. Maybe I'll start going here. No, that's a person that doesn't want to change their life. That's found a church that's willing to compromise. Listen, what it's not is a church that's saying you need to repent. They love you enough to tell you the truth, what Jesus said in his message. But if you do this, you're going to be set free and delivered and have the best possible life you could have, both here on earth and for all eternity, because you're going to be in alignment with God's plan for your life. You see what I'm saying? So it's you're selling them a cheap, false version of Christianity that says, well, if you come to the church, you can drink some beers, and now you're at church, and maybe we'll kind of sneak in your salvation. No, that's not how it works. It's not a sneaking in of your salvation. Like, it is, I am confessing before a holy God that I'm accepting him into my heart as Lord and Savior. Why? Because I've had an encounter with him. Because I've acknowledged that he is real. You see, that's what God is looking for in our free will. So we're going to get into this conversation. There's so much more to talk about. PastorTodd.org is the website. My name is Pastor Todd Coconato. We have an app in the App Store under Todd Coconato Ministries. And download that app. It's a way to get around the censorship of what's going on social media. And we appreciate you very much for doing that. And we can send out alerts. Only once in a blue moon do I send out alerts. But anyway, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. We're going to discuss this more. Welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as Remnant News. Pastor Todd here. And how do we get back on track? Seems like we're really off course, that we're having these bizarre, I don't even know what to call them, sermon illustrations, things that are happening in churches that are getting attention on social media, because this is what happens nowadays, is that people share these things, and then they go viral, and then everybody weighs in their two cents, and there's all this spirited debate online. But the bottom line is, we look crazy when you got a guy who's a male stripper, you know, who's on the stage at a men's conference, okay, and kind of stripping in some ways. I mean, taking off his shirt, doing some weird stuff. It's weird, and everybody's talking about it because they know in their, see, even an atheist knows. I mean, there's some guys that are commentators on YouTube that are atheists, and they critique the church for the bizarre things that many people do in the church, because even they know that's bizarre and wrong and not what God said. Because inherently, everybody, I believe, has the scripture embedded in them. They ultimately have the scripture written on their heart, and people know what's right and wrong. That's why when people are in a lifestyle of sin, they don't want to talk to a Christian that's on fire for the Lord. They're going to be convicted. That's why a lot of people around you, when you walk into a room, you don't even have to say anything, but your lifestyle that brings conviction upon them just because of what you stand for. You don't even have to say a thing. So that's what we want. Like when the Bible says, I know Peter, I know Paul, but who are you? We don't want to be a who are you. We want to be a Peter and a Paul. That means you have authority. And in order to have authority, you got to walk in consecration. You got to come out from among them. You got to be set apart. You got to have a prayer life. You got to be in the Word of God. These are the ways that you get to that place, is you're authentic in your walk. You're actually living to the best of your ability as a Christian. Now, I will say, when we say some things like this, people say, well, are you perfect? No, I'm not. Do you make mistakes, Pastor Todd? I do. Of course I do. I get into my flesh. I say stupid things. I do stupid things. Then I have to repent. But the key to this all is you're a repenter. You're a good repenter. You are someone like David, that, you know, King David, that you have a conviction in your heart and a desire to serve the Lord to the best of your ability. And when you make a mistake, you course correct. But that doesn't mean we condone ridiculousness. Doesn't mean that we condone acts like this that are so bizarre that even the world looks at it and says, that shouldn't be happening in a church. And my question has been, how do these things slip through the cracks of the leadership and get approved to where they actually happen? Because there's something wrong there. And it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. So the hour's getting later. The Bible's coming to life before our eyes. The church has a critical mission. As the body of Christ here on earth, we got to honor him in all of our ways, to know him and to make him known. That's the truth. And the Bible says to avoid even the appearance of evil. What are we called to do? Make disciples of the nations, to be about his business, to get people saved, set free, healed, and delivered. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And if we, you know, if we get serious about our walk and have an urgency for the hour that we're now in, I believe we're going to see a great harvest. And we're going to occupy until he comes. Let's be a repentant people. Let's be set apart for God, in it but not of it. Shine our light brightly. We don't need stunts and shows in our churches, in our conferences. What we need is a powerful move of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to stop making excuses for evil. We got to stop making excuses for evil. You know, some, definitely not all, because some are on fire for God and standing, but some mega churches kind of remind me of what happened to the good old mom and pop stores that had good products that were made well, that provided good customer service, and then the mega chains and big box stores ate up much of their market share over the years. And we have a bunch of flimsy made products from China. Well, in many ways, there's a similarity in the modern church movement. And we need to bring back the quality, discipleship, and Bible teaching that we once had. There's no substitute for real. You can't fake the anointing. Let's support our local churches that are preaching and teaching the truth and not holding back. Let's support some of those larger churches who are doing the same, the ones that are actually real. Now, I know I've read this before, but I'm reading it again because I think it's so significant that we get this. There are real and there are fake, and God is separating the wheat from the chaff. And so the problem, and we need to get to the problem of this, is a lot of preachers and people that are in positions of leadership are lacking a prayer life themselves, are lacking a real heart for God, and have made it about building their own kingdom instead of the kingdom. And this is why. There is a problem in the church. And I wish that it would go away. I wish it wasn't something that we needed to discuss on today's program. But you know it, and I know it, because when we look at our culture, and then when we look at the church, and they got churches on every corner in America, especially here in the South, and yet we're not making the impact that we should be on culture, because culture is dictating what we're supposed to be doing instead of us being the ones that are the head and not the tail. And this has happened in so many different ways, and there's a lot of different aspects to this, and part of it is the feminization of men. Men have become so weak and so feminized that now, a lot of people are afraid to do anything. I see so many people that have so much fear and anxiety that they can't say anything, they can't do anything. They just sit there, and they're these little docile people that don't speak up about anything because they're afraid that somebody's not going to like them. We got to stop being people pleasers. Stop being so worried about what somebody's going to say about you. We're going to have to stand before God. And I know this audience isn't that group. You guys are warriors, and many of you are the people that are standing. So thank you. Thank you for being those people. But I know you're equally as upset, at least somewhat of as upset as I am, about what you've seen in churches over the last, 30 years, 40 years? Because what happened to reverence? What happened to honor? What happened to fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord? And so when you have a fear of the Lord, when somebody has a fear of the Lord, they don't want to displease him. They don't want to do something that's going to make, the body of Christ look dumb or stupid. Or, we have such a reverence. When you're filled with that honor and that fear, it's not a bad fear. It's a good fear. It's a reverence. I have some friends in my life that are friends, but they're also elders. They're double my age, and they're very accomplished gentlemen. I could think of two of them in particular that have been in the ministry for 50 years. And, they've done so many different things over the years and just been powerful and crusades and all, so I look to them as mentors and elders, but they're also friends. And I just think about, what I see at their meetings and some of the things that they poured into my life versus some of the things that folks are saying and doing in some of these churches, that it's just so bizarre. And, we got to look, if you want to have an effective life as a Christian, you got to be real. The Gladiator or something. Are you not entertained? Are we not entertained in America's churches that we got to have all this entertainment? The Holy Spirit's not entertainment enough. I mean, the fact that we could see a move of the Spirit in our service, that's not enough. We got to have some, all this other stuff. Are you not entertained, Christian? Well, what about changing the community? What about changing the country? What about pushing back against the woke ideologies and the evil that's taking over so many different aspects? We've got to stand. And I'm sounding the alarm. This is a clarion call. The church has got to stop with all this nonsense. I'm going to get back to the main thing. So how do we do it? Well, that's what we're going to discuss in the next 14-minute segment that's coming up right now. Stay tuned. bringing sanity back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show. Pastor Todd here. So thankful that you joined us today. Bringing sanity back to the body of Christ. Is it possible? Yes. Is it going to happen? It's got to. Because he comes back for a church without spot nor wrinkle. He says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Are we perfect? No. But do we desire to be more Christ-like? Yes. That's what a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, should be doing. Should be doing. His desire to be like Christ. Is Christ ever in a million billion years ever going to have a beers and hymns night? No. No. Kicking a Bible? Nope. Like a football? Nope. Putting whipped cream on a Bible? Nope. Having a male stripper at a men's conference? Nope. Those are all big new news. No. In fact, there's the fact that anybody would even think these things are good ideas is really the bigger problem. Now, I mentioned in the beginning of the show, there's been an infiltration in the church. The seminaries have been infiltrated like the local government has, from guys like Soros and people like that who choose to understand a bigger strategy than apparently the church understands, that they can go into the local level and start putting their people into the local positions of authority, you know, affecting the school boards and, you know, the community boards and all the different things that are happening in your local community. That's how this woke infiltration has happened, that we are all so up in arms about, because we just can't understand how this even happened in America. And yet now this is happening in the church. Well, of course it is, because the church is a powerful institution. And just like the local government, these people that are these very evil, demonic people with a one world global government agenda and, you know, the new world order, whatever you want to call them, okay? And these are keywords that the algorithms will probably take down because you're not allowed to talk about them, like the George Orwell 1984. But when you actually understand, there is, in fact, nefarious people behind the scenes that are infiltrating these institutions, including the church. And the watering down of the gospel and the backing away of speaking about repentance and holiness and purity and righteousness and confronting sin, it's like been a perfect storm of things that have now gotten to the point where I think God is allowing this to show those with ears to hear and eyes to see, Houston, we have a problem. And so when you have a first thing that you need to understand, anybody needs to understand, I need to understand, you need to understand, about fixing something is we have to understand there's an issue, there's a problem. And then we can effectively come up with a strategy and a solution, how to combat that problem. Well, I mean, first of all, we've got to get to the root of some of these issues. There's a lot of men that are looking at pornography 24/7 or at least every day of their life. You know, there's a lot of men that are involved in addictions and alcohol addictions, drug addictions, you know, different things that they're doing. And so there's open doors, and I've seen this all over the country. Now, there are a lot of godly men. Thank you for all the remnant warriors that are out there that have truly changed your heart and your life and have given your heart to Jesus and have actually turned and repented. You are the Gideon's 300. A lot of women have had to step up in their homes because the men are distracted into something else. Whatever it is, sports, video games, whatever their hobby is or whatever. And so they're all focused on that. And the women have become the spiritual leader in the home, which, as the Bible says, that's not really the way it's supposed to be, is it? Doesn't mean that women don't have positions of authority or that we don't allow women teachers. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying, but the bottom line is the man is supposed to be the head of the home. And so when the man is not spiritually the head of the home, the woman has to step up. And thank God for those women of God that are leading and that are standing, but there's something that's wrong, and it's come into the church, and now we're seeing just so many different areas that are so bizarre for us to see. But I think God is allowing us to see these things so that we can say, yeah, there's a problem, and then how do we fix it? So in order to fix it, we've got to understand the complexity of this problem, because we're being bombarded by the diversity and equity, you know, what are the equality, diversity, equality, all this DEI stuff, you know, that's being pushed into the corporations and all the different, the HR is now teaching this, diversity boards and companies now. And so everybody's been brainwashed by, you're being brainwashed if you go to school to college somewhere. And even in some of the seminaries, this is infiltrated, some of the denominations out there. So now we're seeing the fruit of this cancer that has infiltrated purity, holiness, righteousness, and the Word of God. It's infiltrated what the Bible talks about for the ecclesia, the body of Christ. So we've got to root that out. We've got to take an axe to the root of it and realize this demonic infiltration, all these things that are not of God need to be rooted out in our personal lives and in our churches and in the church corporately. So we've got to do this. And so we've got to understand that, like, when BLM came out, it wasn't about black lives. If it was about black lives, I would have stood with them. I'm for black lives, just like I'm for all lives. But remember when people were coming out saying all lives matter, they're saying, no, that's not right. What do you mean it's not right? Well, these are the same people that tell you that a baby's life doesn't matter. They're wanting to push an agenda. They're wanting to push something that divides us into segments so that they can control us. And this has spilled over into the church. A lot of these very wicked ideologies have spilled into the church, including the feminization of men and making men much weaker. This is an agenda. This is a way that they disrupt families and split homes and cause kids and single moms to become wards of the state and have to depend on their money and so that they can control us. And I'm not saying that if you're a single mom, you can't get help from the government. But what I'm just saying is make sure that it doesn't control you. Make sure that you're living your life for the Lord and you're working towards a goal. I would hope to get off of the government help, because then you can become completely independent, because I think there's going to be more strings attached in the years ahead. As we go into this period of time where they are trying to roll out a central bank digital currency, and we know that eventually the entire financial system is going to be disrupted and changed, maybe through the form of some type of cyber event, or, you know, who knows what it will be that will cause this, but we know that it's their intention by 2030 to roll this type of thing out. It's out there, and anybody in the banking sector knows this is being rolled out in digital currencies. And so they're looking to be able to turn off your ability to transact. They're looking for the ability to control you. And in this time, this is a very important pivotal period right now, because we got to position ourselves to be in a place where we're not going to be as affected as some of these folks that are totally dependent on the state and government. And so we want to make sure that we're planning. And in order to do so, we've got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, and we've got to be getting divine strategy. You know, one of the things that we're trying to do here at the ministry is build what we call the Underground Railroad for the remnant. And, you know, there's a lot of bumps along the way in that process, because what we found is there's all different types of traps and things that they've set up to stop folks from doing things like this, because they want to have the control. And when they want to pull that lever, they want to be able to do it. And they know that it's the church that's standing in their way. So they targeted the church, just like they targeted the local municipalities. They targeted the church. They put in infiltrators in the church to stray folks, to confuse folks, to put in all kinds of fake things and things that aren't doctrinally sound and get us all distracted. And so that's what we're seeing metastasize now. And so we, as a people of God with a heart for the Lord, have to really, really pray and push back and fight this and do it with truth and do it with the sword of the Spirit. And that's why we're going to 20 cities in the next year or so, and we're going to be having this 20-city tour. We just had our first one in Austin, actually San Marcos, right outside of Austin, but it was awesome. Many people came, many people were touched, and we all left there just amazed at what God did. But see, when you're obedient and you do what the Lord tells you to do, he's going to bless it. He's going to bless your path. He's going to go before you like the Gideon's 300. He's going to go before you. He's going to anoint you. And so this group, for us, when we get so grieved by what we see happening out there with some of these stunts and ridiculous things that are happening in the body of Christ, the way that we respond and react and be proactive is we get out there and we do what the Bible says to do. And we walk in the unction of the Spirit. And we walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And we do what the Word of God says. And we stay away from the vain imaginations. And we stay away from the leaven. And we stay away from the compromise. We don't allow it in our life. Now, again, do we sometimes make mistakes? Yes. But when we do, we course correct. We're teachable. We're accountable. And we stick to the Word of God and what it says. And that way, we're set up for success. We're like a tree that's planted by the water. And so we don't need to be insecure. A lot of this comes from insecurity as believers, like, oh, they're not going to like the gospel, because we need to be relevant. We need to try to be more like them so they can understand us. Actually, no. Actually, no. What they want to see is the sincerity and authenticity. And when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, there's a tugging on their heart that the Holy Spirit does on the other person. When we're speaking the truth, the Bible says the word of God will not return back void. When you speak the truth of the word of God and you operate in the authority and the anointing of God, people's lives are actually changed. They're actually changed because what you're saying is actually true. And it bears witness in their heart because inherently they know if they're in sin. And so what you're doing, they know if you're doing it in love. You're not beating them over the head with the Bible or doing fire and brimstone on them. But what you're saying is, I love you enough to tell you that the lifestyle that you're living is wrong according to the word of God, but there's a way out. And God wants to meet you and encounter you and give you the hope. Because I'm going to tell you, anybody that's in an addiction lifestyle, it's in drugs or alcohol abuse or sexual promiscuity or living a lifestyle that they shouldn't, they already know, guys. They already know they're in sin. They already know they're doing something they shouldn't be. And so it's kind of like a parent and a child, you coming in with the authority to say, hey, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you it's the sin. I don't hate you. I hate the sin. And this sin that you're allowing in your life is an open door. And what it's doing is it's causing the enemy to have a power over you to try to destroy your life. That you're like that frog that's in the boiling pot, and right now you're on your way to hell. But listen, there is hope for you because Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for you. And so when you were yet a sinner, he died for you, and all you have to do is draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. See what I'm saying? And you start sharing. Look, I was a sinner. This is what the Lord did in my life. I start giving my testimony, my personal story. Which, by the way, is very relatable to people because then they're like, wow, I see you on fire for God. I see something in you. How did you get that? Where did that come from? How did that start? You start telling them your own personal journey of how your life has been impacted so much that you're not even the same person anymore, that you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've caught the fire of God. And when you catch the fire of God, something happens in your life. Everything has changed. You can't go back. And see, so that's the impact that we need. That's the impact that the young people need. That's what, if that men's conference would have been awesome, is if they would have all started praying at the altar before the service started. How cool would that have been? Some powerful music and somebody leading in some authoritative prayer and saying, hey, welcome to this men's conference where we're going to teach you how to man up. And the first thing we're going to do before we even get started is we're going to get on our knees here at the altar and we're going to start crying out to God and ask him to move in this thing. Now, of course, maybe not every guy would go up, but some would. And what it would do is it would set an environment. It would set an atmosphere to allow the Holy Spirit to move instead of bringing in some unclean spirit right away and starting the conference. And there was all kinds of bad judgment on their part. I mean, some of the speakers, the whole thing is like, you know, I mean, there's so much there and I'm not even going to get into all those weeds, but I'm just saying like any type of environment, if we invite the presence of God in and we honor him and we fear him and we start speaking the truth of his word, the place is going to be changed. And not because of the anointing I carry, but because of the truth. It's the truth that sets the captive free. So we want to change. We've got to just basically do what the Bible says to do. It's not super complicated. And we've got to get out of the way. So we're going to continue this discussion. PastorTodd.org is the website. PastorTodd.org, and we'll be right back. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as Remnant News. I'm so thankful that you're here. And we need to keep praying. Listen, I'm not here to bash the church, okay? Obviously, I love the church. I'm not here to bash the church. I'm part of the body of Christ. How do we fix this? How do we fix these things so that we don't think it's okay to kick a Bible as a football? How do we fix these things to where we don't look like, you know, where the world can just mock us? I mean, they're going to mock us anyways, but why are we giving them low-hanging fruit? And I think what it comes back to and what this whole show is about and really what the main message is right now is we need to repent. If my people who are called by my name. God is calling the church to repentance. And if we can't see it with all the signs around us, if we can't see it with, I mean, my goodness, he's given us sign after sign after sign after sign. It's like, how much is it going to take for us to realize God's trying to get our attention? Our world, our nation is on the brink. Our dollar is on the brink. Our sovereignty is on the brink. Our Constitution is on the brink. We're on the brink of losing religious liberties and freedoms. Israel's at war. There's red heifers in Israel. The Euphrates is drying up in certain places. I mean, how many signs? It's like, are you not entertained? What is it going to take for us to wake up and hear what God is saying and return back to our first love? To not make it about us. To not make it about filling our own pockets or building our own ministry or getting followers or likes or the accolades of man or whatever. What is it going to take? I know there's so many of you out there that understand what I'm saying. It's going to take us getting back to, once again, the main thing. What we do in our prayer time is so important. To get that fire from God, to get the direction and the strategy from heaven, to open our hearts entirely to him. You know, the entirety of our heart, every single bit of our being. And to close those other doors, to close those doors of sin. What is it going to take? What if only in a few years from now, we looked back at 2024 and we realized the significance of the time that we're in right now. And we said, why didn't we do more when we could? What if this is that pivotal time that could literally be determinative about where we're going to go? What if it was right now that makes the difference of life and death over America, over your children? Or, I mean, I hate to say these types of things, but I'm saying like 5-10 years from now, we could be in a much different world. And we're going to look back at 2024 and the years prior to this and say, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I fight back? Well, why don't we wake up now? Why don't we wake up before there's a major terrorist attack? Why don't we wake up before there's an EMP? Why don't we wake up before there's a cyber attack or a black swan event? Why don't we wake up now and say no more? And it starts in the church because judgment comes first to the house of the Lord. So I know these are pretty radical things to say, but I think we're in a radical time. And I don't say them lightly, and I don't say them without a fear and a reverence of the Lord. I think we got to bring reverence back in the church. You know, I mean, everybody's so lackadaisical. Geez, I'm a friend of God. I mean, that's fine. Like, we can be a friend of God, but we also got to reverence him and honor his word and actually do what it says to the best of our ability and preach the entire thing. I didn't write it. You didn't write it, but preach what it says, because that's what sets us up for success, not only here, but for all eternity. God is looking for a people that are willing to put everything on the line. God is looking for a people that are willing to do everything. And listen, not when the best, you know, all of a sudden some opportunity comes for a job, or, you know, if you're an actor, you get this role and it's amazing and they're going to offer you all this money, but the only thing you got to do, you got to compromise. No. Don't, you know, a relationship, you've been waiting for a relationship. Finally, there's a guy giving you attention and he's cute or whatever, you know, and it's like, you know, I want this guy. And so I'm going to give up parts of my walk. No, don't do that. You're walking into a trap. So we've got to stay pure in our personal life, in our personal walk. And then corporately, as the body of Christ, we got to stay pure. And we can't let these ridiculous stunts and entertainment things become who we are. That's not who we are. It's not who we're supposed to be. So we get back to that reverence. We get back to that moment, that first moment of when we encountered God. Can we remember what it was like? Can we remember what it was like to actually walk out of a lifestyle of sin and walk into the light and life of Jesus Christ, and how important, how that changed every aspect of our life? And now can we understand that that's what's going to happen to the folks that we preach and teach the Bible to, that we go out there and make disciples, that we go out and share the good news of Jesus, because they're so lost and they're so hopeless, but they've seen so much mockery and just crazy nutty stuff in the church. We've got to stop with the showy stuff. Stop with all this showmanship and churchianity. I feel like such a voice in the wilderness right now, but I know many of you understand what I'm saying. Let our hearts break for what breaks the Lord's heart. Let our hearts break for you know, allowing sin in our lives. Let us run from sin. Let us turn from sin. And when we get to a church and we have money and we have things coming in, if you're on the leadership of a church or leadership of a ministry, by gosh, that's the Lord's money. Like, think about what can we best do to be effective for the kingdom? What can we best do to utilize these funds for the glory of God? Instead of just running and buying whatever it is that we wanted and saying that somehow that's helping the church. No. I mean, I was talking to my leadership team and I'm like, as money comes in, it goes right back into ministry. Why? Because we have a heart for souls and we know the Lord's going to bless that and it honors him. And that's what I just pray, that we all have a desire to honor him. I pray that we all have a healthy fear of the Lord and a reverence. We got to bring back reverence. What's holy. You know, when we come into a church, we're standing on holy ground. You know, when we're in the presence of the Lord, we understand what that means, that we're new covenant believers and that we have this amazing ability by what Christ did on the cross to enter into the presence, you know, enter into the courts of praise with thanksgiving in our heart. He inhabits the praise of his people. I think we've gotten this wrong so many times, friends, time and time and time again. We've gotten it wrong. We've missed the mark. We missed the opportunity. And we did that because, honestly, we were caught up in something. Whatever it was, comparing ourselves, trying to be something else, trying to do something, vain imaginations. God is saying, turn to me. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Turn your eyes to me. That's what he's saying to the church in America. Turn your eyes to me. Turn your eyes. Look at me. Look at what I'm telling you to do. Listen to my spirit. I have a job for you. I have something for your life. I have a calling on your life. I have a purpose for you. You can walk in the entirety of that calling. You could feel the presence of God in your life in any day, any moment of your day. So we don't need to be entertained. We don't need to be relevant. God is relevant. His word is relevant. We don't need to try to come up with a gimmick or a prop or a show or whatever. We don't need to put extra things. I mean, sure, can we do things with excellence? Yes. Can we do things in a way that pleases the Lord and honors him? Absolutely, we need to. But we don't need to do these extra things that looks just like the world, acts just like the world, and then they mock us, and we're giving them low-hanging fruit because we've taken out the reverence. We've taken out what is holy, what is pure. You know, people stop talking about purity because they think, oh, it's too hard to attain purity. No, it's not. You can have a pure heart where you have right standing before God, where your heart is sincere and authentic. And listen, you may not be the most well-known, famous preacher out there. You may not have a massive, big ministry. You may not have a bunch of people fawning all over you, wanting to take pictures with you. But you know what? You serve an audience of one. And that God of heaven and earth, creator of all things, is pleased with you, is pleased with your obedience, is pleased with the fact that you speak truth and you give the love and the light of Jesus to those who are lost and weary. We're known by our fruit and we're known by our love. And so we've got to come out from among them. We need to be set apart. We need to look totally different from the world. Not look just like the world. We got to look like Jesus to the best of our ability. And so these stunts and these things, they need to stop. And it's going to take somebody that's listening to this. You're on the board of a leadership at your own church, and some of this shenanigans is going on there, and you might have been sent there just specifically to call this out. Do it. Do it in reverence and respect and honor of the leadership, but do it in a way that speaks truth. You see what I'm saying? Like, in all of those situations, there were people that God put there to say, hey, this isn't a good idea, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And maybe you're that person. Maybe you're that person at that ministry or at that place where God has put something on your heart and you need to share it. Do it in love. Do it in accordance to Matthew 18. But do it. Take a stand for righteousness. Take a stand for truth. Take a stand for the word of God. Be a people that hungers and thirsts for him. This is what all of it, I'm preaching to myself, guys. If we all do this, there's going to be a change. But we are at such an important moment in history. And if we don't do this, I fear we could lose this country. So the time is now. Now is the time to take a stand. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Are you going to go out there and make disciples? Are you going to go out there and make a difference for the kingdom? Come out from among this wickedness. Come out from among the complacency and the apathy. Hallelujah. We love you guys. We bless you. We'll see you again next week. PastorTodd.org. Hey, friends, thank you so much for tuning in to today's broadcast. If you enjoyed the broadcast, write me, PastorTodd.org. Tell me what you think and if there's something that you think we should cover. Also, I'm so thankful that you tuned in. We need your support. Please go to ToddCoconato.com/give, ToddCoconato.com/give, to help us fund this David versus Goliath battle, and it certainly is. We need you more than ever. Can't say that more sincerely. We need you more than ever. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' name.